Open your Bible, please, to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. The book of Proverbs, chapter 21. And in verse number 1, Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Here's a verse of scripture. You can see it right there on the surface. The Lord moves upon within the hearts of kings so that the kings in turn carry out the plan, the design, the purpose of God. Of course, I believe that it mentions specifically the king because it would have us to know that this is true of every one of us, even those who are not kings. We think about a king as having power, authority, the ability to do according to his own will. And this verse of scripture reminds us that even though it may appear to be so, it is God who actually controls the king. And if that is true, and it is, if that is true, how much more is it true that my heart, your heart, my life, your life is in the hand of the Lord, and that he also controls our lives. With that before us today, I want to speak about the silent hand of a sovereign God. We're speaking here about the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Notice that in the text, it's the hand of the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. That is the Lord God Jehovah, the great I am, the self-existent, eternal one. When we talk about the Lord, we are talking about that one who has all power in heaven and in earth. We're thinking about the great lawgiver, the judge, the redeemer, Jehovah. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. Who is the Lord? Deuteronomy 4:39. Know therefore this day, considered in thine heart, that the Lord, he is God, in heaven above and in the earth beneath. There is none else. Jeremiah chapter 10, verse number 10. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. Who is the Lord? He is the creator of everything. He is the sustainer and the upholder of all things. He is the controller of all things. Psalm chapter 33 and verse number 6 says that by the word of the Lord, that's again capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. The Bible tells us that he is the one who possesses all things. Psalm chapter 24 and verse number 1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. And so we're talking about the Lord today. This verse of Scripture talks about the Lord. It talks about the hand of the Lord. And it talks about how that the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And I say that includes you and me as well. Job chapter 12, verse 10 says, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing?" Not merely the king, but "in whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind." So this God, this Lord, He is sovereign. Now, I don't think that I need to dwell too long in this congregation on the subject of God's sovereignty, but I certainly love the subject and I wouldn't skip over the thought. The word sovereign is not found in the Bible. You know that, but the teaching of God's sovereignty is on every page and in every paragraph practically. The sovereignty of God. When we talk about God's sovereignty, we mean that God is the ruler of all things. Right in the middle of the word sovereignty is the word reign. God reigns. Psalm chapter 97, verse number 1. The Lord reigns. Yes, He does. He is in control of everything. And He's sovereign. When we talk about sovereign here upon the earth, Brother Nathan said that we don't have a king, and we don't in this country, and some countries do, and at times past at least, a king has been referred to as the nation's sovereign. Well, a king here upon the earth only has a very limited sovereignty. But our God, the Lord, is sovereign over all. He is the King of kings. He is the ruler of all rulers. He is the Lord of all lords. His sovereignty is absolute. And 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse number 12 says, "He reigneth over all." I'm not going to take the time, but I think that I could show you from the Scriptures how that He is sovereign over nature. He is sovereign over nations. He is sovereign over angels. He is sovereign over demons. He is sovereign over kings. He is sovereign over armies. He is sovereign and He rules over the saved, as well as over the lost. He is sovereign throughout all of creation. And He controls. The old song, even though it may have its weaknesses, the old song is "He's got the whole world in His hands," and it's true. We're talking about the silent hand of a sovereign God. We're talking about how that in whose hand is the soul of every living thing. We're talking about how that there's none that can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" We're talking about a Lord, a God who is sovereign, and the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever He will. We're thankful for this today. That God does what He wants to do, when He wants to do it, where He wants to do it, how He wants to do it, with whom He wants to do it. He is absolutely in control. Isaiah chapter 41, verse number 20 says, "That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done it." The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as rivers of water. Now, I look at this terminology and in my mind I can interpret this because it's a little bit unclear to me. First of all, I know that God's hand, His great hand, contains and holds. He can put the very creation itself in the palm of His hand like the dust of a balance. It is so small and insignificant before Him. And I think about how that He stretches out His hand. You can read it in the book of Exodus and different places where He stretches out His hand over the waters and He causes the sea to part and the people go across on dry ground. We read about in the book of Joshua how that the hand of the Lord, it's not the terminology that's used there, but He calls for the Jordan River to be stopped and the people can go across into the land of promise. We read about how that God is able to control all of the waters because He has made them and He is in control of all things. How they can control the flow of the waters, the fall of the waters, the rise of the waters, the floods, and the drought. It's all within His hand. I looked in some commentaries and they suggested that this is a reference to how that even in ancient days, kings, especially kings and very wealthy people, but kings, in order to water their gardens and irrigate their crops, would arrange different canals and systems of stop and go so that they could turn the river from flowing in its bank this way to a canal that way or canal that way or to a reservoir over here, and basically with the turn of a hand they could have their crops watered very silently without any great show, without any great fanfare, that a king could just turn the waters towards his garden here or there. And so I was thinking, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever He will. So I think of some kings. I think, first of all, of the story of Joseph and King Pharaoh. Back in the book of Genesis, and I suppose we could start in Genesis chapter 37, but we're not going to. You're familiar with the story of Joseph and how that even as he was a young boy of only 17 years of age, he was so hated by his brothers because his father had a great love for Joseph. And the Bible says that his brothers could not speak peaceably unto him, and they had a great hatred for their brother Joseph, their younger brother Joseph. And you remember how that he was sold as a slave off into Egypt. And down into Egypt, all the different things, but this was what God had planned and purposed. We know that, don't we? We know that because of not only God's revelation in the beginning, but also what Joseph said there in the last chapter of Genesis. After that, they'd all gone down to Egypt. And after the father was dead, and the brothers were concerned, oh, Joseph is going to be mad at us now that Dad's dead, nothing to... And he said, listen, God meant this for good. God's the one who's been in control all along. But turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 41. You remember at this time when Joseph was in the prison, in the jail, we'll not talk about Potiphar and his wife, but when Joseph was in the jail and the king of Egypt had a dream, there were going to be 7 years of plenty and there were going to be 7 years of famine. But it says in chapter 41, verse number 1, And it came to pass the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. You remember the dream. I'm not going to. Verse 15, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And then you'll look in verse 25, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse number 39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God has shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Now here's my thought. Do you know Pharaoh had no idea? Within his own mind, he had no previous thought of Joseph down in the prison house. Joseph himself thought, I've been forgotten here. Nobody even knows that I'm here, but God knew that he was there. God knows where you are today. And Joseph himself thought, I'm forgotten, and Pharaoh had no thought of him, didn't even perhaps have heard of Joseph prior to that. But then Pharaoh had a dream. Now, I don't put great stock in dreams. I'm not suggesting anything like that today. But here was a dream. God was at work in this. And he actually had two dreams. And when he called for his wise men in the morning to interpret this dream, none of Pharaoh's wise men could interpret the dream. But one of the men said, hey, I remember. I was in the jailhouse. And there was a man down there by the name of Joseph. And me and my buddy, we had a dream one night, and that fellow was able to interpret our dream. And they called for Joseph. And before the day was out, Joseph had been taken from the prison into the palace and sitting second to King Pharaoh. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. You know that? I find great comfort in that in this day and time, especially in our political situation. Who can do that except the Lord? What about the Babylonian captivity? And I'm not going to read here. I'm just going to... But you remember how that God warned his people over and over again that because of their sins, they were going to come under judgment. And God was going to use the Babylonian. Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians were going to come down, which they did do, 3 different times. First of all, in about the year 606 BC, and then in the year 597, then in the year 588, give or take a year in those things. But they came down against Jerusalem, and they came down against the people of Israel. And God had even said, God had prophesied through Jeremiah his prophet, that it was going to be 70 years that they were going to be carried away into Babylon captivity. Nebuchadnezzar, was he really determined to destroy Jerusalem? If so, why didn't he do it on the first time down? If so, why didn't he do it on the second time when he came to invade the land and again he overcame them? I submit to you that he would have done it about 20 years earlier than he did had it been just his own plan and purpose. But God had something in mind for that people of Israel and the city of Jerusalem, and it was what was prophesied and planned by God, and the king was working out exactly the decree that God had told him, oh, not in an audible way perhaps, but what God had impressed upon his heart to do. In a very silent way. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And again, it's not just for kings, it's for you and me. I like that story in the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17, the story of Elijah. Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead. You remember how he came and he stood before Ahab and he said, "As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, there's not going to be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." And then immediately he turned away from King Ahab and he went out. God hid him by the brook Cherith. And he was there fed. The ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And he drank of the brook. And then the Bible says the brook dried up. But God said to his prophet, "I want you to go to the city of Zarephath because there's a widow woman there." And if you read that passage of Scripture, God says, "I've commanded her." What's that mean? God had spoken to her heart. She didn't even know it. God had spoken to her heart. "I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." And so Elijah went, and as he drew near to the city and to the house and the place where he was going, there was this widow woman picking up some sticks. She was going to make a fire and bake a little bread for her and her son. And she at first hesitated when Elijah called for the bread. She said, "I only have this little bit of meal, a little bit of oil." He said, "You go and make me the cake first." And God had spoken to her heart. She didn't even know it. God was taking care of her for years to come. And she didn't even know it. What is that? That's the silent hand of a sovereign God. But to get back to a king, what about Cyrus, who ruled over the captive Jews? And the time came, the 70 years were up, the time that Jeremiah the prophet had prophesied that they would be in the Babylonian captivity. And now it was time for them to be allowed to go home. And Cyrus, whom God had even named by name years before he was even born, was the one who was going to give the decree. Look in the book of Ezra, if you would, please. Ezra chapter 1. And in Ezra chapter 1, beginning in verse number 1, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, that the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah might be fulfilled, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, and he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also into writing, saying, Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you all of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem, which is in Judah, and build the house of the Lord God of Israel. He is the God which is in Jerusalem." And you remember the story here, how that this pagan king, he wasn't a Jewish man, this pagan king who had no regard actually for Jeremiah's prophecy, and yet God had said, this is how it's going to be, and God, who holds the king's heart in his hand, turned it. Says time. Go to Ezra chapter 7, and I really don't know if this is speaking about Ezra or Artaxerxes, but in chapter 7, verse number 6, it says, "This Ezra went up from Babylon, and he was a ready scribe in the law of Moses, which the Lord God of Israel had given, and the Lord granted him all his requests according to the hand of the Lord his God upon him." I suppose that probably means the hand of the Lord upon Ezra. But it could also, I suppose, mean the hand of the Lord upon Artaxerxes, because either one is true. Both is true. We're all in the hand of the Lord. Go to the book of Nehemiah. Well, I shouldn't take time, I don't think, to read this, but Nehemiah, you remember, here's another king, Artaxerxes, giving to Nehemiah in chapter 2 the permission to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and to beautify the house, and how that, again, God is moving, even so much that this king said, I'll provide for you all of the material things that you need. I'll provide for you financially. That's better than a credit card. I'm going to give to you anything that you need financially. You can go back and rebuild the walls. These wonderful stories that you find throughout the Old Testament, sometimes you don't even think how that God is the one who's controlling them all. Book of Esther, word God, the name God is not even mentioned. The Lord is not directly mentioned in the book of Esther, but His hand is seen everywhere. And the Bible says that King Ahasuerus couldn't sleep one night. Oh, you say that just happens, does it? Does that just happen? When you can't sleep at night, is it just because you ate something before you went to bed that you shouldn't have eaten? When that dog barks all night, do you know who commands the dog to bark? Because the hearts of men are in the hand of the Lord. But let me close by reminding you of King Herod in the New Testament. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem saying, where is he, this born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and come to worship him. You remember that. When those wise men drew near and they asked about the king, Herod and all Jerusalem was troubled. And they sent the wise men, you go and find out where this baby is. And you come and bring me back word again that I also might worship him. And they went and they bowed before the Lord Jesus, the baby Lord Jesus. But then, of course, they didn't go back to Herod. And the Bible says that in chapter 2 of Matthew, verse number 13, and when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And you know the story there, how that's exactly what happened. He sent forth his soldiers to slay all of the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had diligently inquired of the wise men. You say, well, surely you don't believe that the Lord moved in the heart. You know, I believe that God holds every breath that we breathe in our hand. And I believe that God is in control, even sometimes of saying, all right, you go ahead. He's still in control. But says, all right, you go ahead. You do what is your evil desire, and we can't go any farther than what God says. I don't believe that Satan can do a thing, but what God gives him permission. I believe that God, the Lord, is in control of Herod and this whole situation. Maybe I can't explain it all, but I believe the Lord is in control of this whole situation. So much so that even when Jesus was crucified, you know, it didn't take God by surprise. I'm going to close with one verse of Scripture in the book of Acts chapter 4. When Herod and Pontius Pilate and all these different ones gathered together against the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know what time it started. I just know I'm supposed to stop at 12:15. So I'm... I believe the Lord's in control of that. Acts chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse 23 here in a minute, but here... these two preachers who had been thrown into the prison overnight, detained overnight, because of the miracle and because of preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they were, verse 23, and being let go, that was in the morning, they went to their own company and reported all the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God. They're praying now. They're talking to the Lord. They're saying, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord, against his Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast ordained, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, notice this, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And then they went on, and now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant to thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. I believe that we have a God who is in control. He rules and he reigns. He rules and reigns in the hearts of men, even in the hearts of kings. But in the hearts and the lives of every one of us, he rules and he reigns. We have a responsibility to submit ourselves unto him. But we also find great comfort in this, that however the vote turns out, God's in control. I said I was going to use just one more. I'm going to go back to Proverbs just a minute. Let me go back to Proverbs just a minute. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 24, man's goings are of the Lord. How can a man then understand his own way? And then I'm going to skip back one more verse, chapter 19, verse 21. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. May the Lord bless you.
Amen. Something needful for us to take heart in. We're in all things under the control of our Lord. One of the blessings that I enjoy sin, a great hope in, when my Father in heaven looks at me in Christ, I stand before him in his Isn't that great? Stand before him innocent of doing anything wrong because of Christ. Do you know that for yourself? Okay, let's have a congregational song for Daryl.
Let's all stand, please.
Take your hymnals and turn to page 342.